Again, thank you very much for coming this evening. And as already been indicated, I too intend to tell how God reached and saved me. You don't have to turn to it, but I was just thinking of this verse at the villa. Isaiah, he writes words, and it just sort of struck me this way. I was just enjoying it. The people that walked in darkness saw a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath shined. Now maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. Here's what it means. Unless you are of the nation of Israel, a Jew, we were born in darkness. That is, we were born outside the blessing of God that he had for his earthly people Israel. But Isaiah is writing concerning, Isaiah didn't actually understand what he was writing about. But to me, it's pretty clear that it's the gospel that went out after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it actually went outside of Israel. And what amazes me more and more the older I get is that God ever reached and saved me. Born in the darkness, born outside of God's chosen nation, the Jewish nation. And tonight, we want to tell you that the light of the gospel, it's not some great light in the sky, but it's the word of the gospel that God has made sure that for 2,000 years it has been gone through the whole world. And here it is in 2024. And the gospel is still going out. And tonight, the light of the gospel message could reach you. Now, just in case you're wondering, he's a couple of years older than I am. He's got more hair than I do, but I am younger. But we both can go back to a day in our life when we understood that I am a sinner and Christ died for me. I didn't meet the man. I've never only heard about the man a couple of weeks ago, the man that his father was talking to. Never met him, but I would agree 100%. I'll say the same thing, that unless you have had a moment in your life, if you cannot go back to a moment when you understood why the Lord Jesus Christ died, if you never had that moment, tonight you need this message. You need the truth that we are trying to present, that you are in your sins. But that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Now, we're going to read three places. The first one is in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. There's going to be a question and there's going to be an answer. A question and an answer. I won't go into the details of the story, but this was something that was in my mind the night I was saved. Acts 16, verse 30. The last half says, what must I do to be saved? That is a very good question. Here's the answer. And they said, two preachers, here's what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and you will be saved. Go back to the book before this, John, the book of John, chapter 19. And verse number 30, John 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He wasn't talking about the vinegar. He was talking about the work of salvation, the work that needed to be done for a person to be saved. That is what he is talking about. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for sin. Our last reading will be in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, right in about the middle of your Bible in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These are the three of the verses that God used to show me that I could be saved, that show me why the Lord Jesus Christ died. In case I forget, I was saved. It'll be 36 years. It was 36 years 2 weeks ago. On the 19th of August, 1988, I was 15 years old. I was brought up underneath the sound of the gospel. I was like Donald. I don't ever remember learning John 3 and verse 16. I likely was taught it as well from my youngest. Likely the first verse I ever learned. As far back as I can go, 45 years to when I was 4, 5, 6, I knew John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in fact, that was the verse that my father was saved through. My mother also grew up under the sound of the gospel, and she was saved in her early teens, if I recall correctly. My father had never heard the gospel. And when he was, I think, around 28 years of age, his friend that he had got as a friend in the Air Force, his friend Brennan Good had come back from the Air Force, come back to Charlottetown, and was saved. And there was gospel meetings just out in Kaskumpeck. And he asked my father, he said, will you come out to a gospel meeting? And my father went out. He had never been in a gospel meeting before. And after only one or two nights, Dad realized, I need to be saved. And in his paint shop, just in the same yard where Dean and Mom live, in his paint shop, up in the attic, he was thought there was a fire, and it struck him that he was going to hell. And he thought of this verse, for God so loved the world. Only heard the gospel twice, once or twice. And Dad was saved. Well, after that, a few years after that, Mom and Dad were married and I was born. So I was raised under the sound of the gospel. I was going to say, I came to the Sunday school here, not here, but out in Springfield, from my very earliest. And so I knew the gospel. And in fact, some of my favorite pastime as kids was to go out to Hebron to my grandmother's house. And while the adults were downstairs, us kids, David and me and my sister and some of her cousins, we would play meeting on the stairs, or we'd play meeting out in the kitchen. And that's what we did. We looked forward to doing it. And yes, we even pretended we'd preach, and we didn't sweat as much back then as we do now, but that's what we'd do. We knew the gospel. David was saved at a young age. And when I was, I think, around 9, I remember one night Uncle Albert was speaking, and he said, there needs to be a time when, a place where, no matter how you're saved. And I remember thinking, I'm lost. And I looked at the date, and I said that I got saved. And for a few years, I thought I was. I was baptized, I think, when I was 14. And I had asked to come into the fellowship of the assembly, to join the Springfield West Gospel Hall, if you don't understand, just to keep it simple. When I met with Uncle Lewis McKenzie, Uncle Albert, and Robert Smith. And my life was good. I was a very good living boy. I was always scared of getting in trouble. But Robert asked me a question. He said, "Are you sure you're saved? Have you ever had any doubts?" And I said, "Well, yes, I have." But that started to bother me. "Are you sure you're saved?" That was, I'm thinking June, July. And that started to bother me. And at times that I least expected, it would flash in, "Daryl, are you sure you're saved?" Well, I did. I thought I was saved. I did come into the meeting, but that started more and more to bother me. "Daryl, are you sure you're saved?" That summer, gospel meetings came to O'Leary here, just across from the O'Leary School. There was a field there, and the field is still actually open. But Mr. Albert Ramsey and Mr. Peter Orzok began gospel meetings that summer, and they started to preach. Through the course of the meetings, I don't even remember when the meeting started. I know I helped put the tent up. I used to collect the hymn books after the meeting. But in the back of my mind was this, "Daryl, are you sure you're saved?" And I just kept pushing it away. Can I say something tonight to you? Just be personal. You know what? I did not want to face that question. But tonight I want to ask you, are you sure of heaven? Are you saved? Have your sins been forgiven? Can you look back to a time in your life when you can say, "That is when I started for heaven"? And you know what? I didn't want to face it. And I kept pushing it back for most of that summer. And I did. I thought I was saved. Towards the end of those meetings, it was the middle of early week or so of August, Jerry Doucette from over in Rosebank Assembly, he was going up to Price, Quebec. They were building a new gospel hall there, and he was going up to help them pour the floor, the cement floor. So he asked David Hurley High and myself if we'd go up and help. We were just young guys, but had done a little bit of work in that, and we weren't scared of work, and he asked us to go up. So we went up. And there's a few things on that trip that God was actually reaching in a little further. One of the things that I can remember, it just stands out in the meeting there, it was in French. And I sat in the meeting, they spoke French, and I knew a little bit of French from high school, but I didn't understand what the meeting was about. But one of the things that hit me was, "Daryl, if you are saved, even though you can't understand this meeting, you would appreciate something with the meeting." That bothered me. One of the other things that I remember on that trip, we were staying at Larry Biot's house, and somebody there told a story about a lady who had been in an assembly meeting, like I was, for 20 or 22 years, and she found out that she was not saved. And that was just like an arrow. And I thought, "Daryl, what if that's you?" Well, I didn't say anything to anybody, but God was speaking. God was trying to make me face what I didn't want to face. And you know what? We don't like facing our sin. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm quite sure that you don't want to stop and think about it, but this Bible tells very clearly that as we are born, as you are born, you are born, you are a sinner, and you need to be saved. That is the message from the Bible. That is what we are trying to present tonight, that you need to be saved. And while I didn't realize it right then, I needed to be saved, and God was trying to make me understand it, and I was turning away. We were coming home, we got the floor poured. We were coming home, and it was likely coming down through New Brunswick. Jerry, I think it was, said, "We should tell how we get saved." And he told how he was saved. And David told how he was saved, and I told my story. And I remember thinking, this seems so empty. It doesn't seem right. So we get home, I think it was on a Wednesday evening. We weren't in time for the gospel meeting. Thursday evening, I would have went to meeting. I don't remember what it was spoken on. Friday evening, I remember as we went into meeting that night, and I would have sat near the front. And I remember thinking, Daryl, you need to figure this out. Are you saved? Are you not? This is too serious. And you know what? When it comes to our sin, it is so serious. If you can stop and just stop and think, it might not even be 100 years, but 100 years from tonight, if you died as you are right now, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? And I didn't want to face it. But that meeting, it came to me, Daryl, you need to figure out if you're saved or are you not saved. Well, as that meeting went through, I was going back over what had taken place. And just before that meeting closed, I remember thinking, you know what? Whatever took place back when I was 9, there was nothing to do with the cross. There was no understanding about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that meeting came to a close, it just came to me like this, Daryl, you're not saved. You need to be saved. Well, we left meeting, and it was about a 20-minute drive. And I remember thinking, I hope the Lord takes us home safely because I'm not ready. Walked into the house, and I remember going through the kitchen, and I grabbed a glass of water, and as I took a sip, it just struck me, Daryl, there's none of this in hell. And there is. We can read in Luke chapter 16 of a man who died, and his request is that a beggar would take one little drop of water to cool his tongue, and he wasn't allowed it. And so that's what flashed through my mind. I went to my room. Nobody knew what was going on in my mind. And I went in my room, and I started to look at all of many different verses. And I don't even remember what verses I looked at, because I would have known scores of verses, hundreds of verses, and nothing brought anything. And then I remember thinking, well, you're in the meeting, what are you going to do with that? And I said, well, that really doesn't matter. But I remember it just seemed like everything was getting so dark. And I remember thinking, well, just go to sleep and think about it in the morning. I said, no, I can't do that. And finally, just after a while, just everything was getting so dark. But I just remember there sitting in my bed or laying, I don't even remember, it doesn't matter. Just the cry came from my heart, oh God, how can I be saved? That's very similar to the verse we just read. What must I do to be saved? And that's what I had cried out. God, how can I be saved? I don't know how to be saved. And I thought of the words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, for most people, that would have been enough. It wasn't for me. Sometimes I can be skeptical, and I was skeptical. And you know what? When it comes to eternal matters, when it comes to heaven and hell, it's not enough to think, well, I might be okay. We need to know for sure. And I thought, well, believe what? What can I believe that I haven't already heard? And I thought of the verse that we read in John chapter 19. It is finished. And again, that's enough for most people. And I thought, well, what's finished? Well, of course, it was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But I thought of these words, and I must have turned to it in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. He was wounded, and I remember thinking, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And is that all there is? And I had looked down. With his stripes, I am healed. And there that Friday evening, about somewhere 10:30, I know it was around that time because Mom was going to work. She worked at the hospital when it was in just in O'Leary beside Timmy's place, and she was going to work, so it happened just before she left for work. I came to understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died for my sins. You know, usually I include the next day, you know, I just wasn't 100% sure. That's what happened that night. But I remember the next day, well, you were wrong before. Maybe you're wrong again. And I'd finally got the courage up to tell Mom and Dad what had happened at dinner time. And on the Sunday morning, I had told the oversight, the elders, what had taken place. And I took my place at the back. And I was sitting in one of the back rows. And I was thinking, was that really it? And I don't remember anything else that Doug prayed that morning, but I remember Doug Morrison, he prayed and he quoted John chapter 3, verse 16, and he went through the verse, and I knew it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and it just, that is all there is to it. Tonight, I can rest, I don't want to rest on that hymn book, I can rest my future on this book. Now, my brother mentioned something. He said, if God goes back, you know what? I know he knows this. God can never go back on his word. Tonight, if you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would face your sins, Michael here today, he was talking with the kids, and he said, we need to repent. We need to admit our guilt. And as good as a boy I was still a sinner. I knew that. But I was still a sinner and I needed to be saved. And tonight, you need to be saved. But if you would put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to end off where we started. Listen to the words. We've already read them. For God so loved the world. It's the world of people, you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son. You know what? I have one son. He's pretty decent, but he's not perfect. And he would be likely the first to admit it. I wouldn't give Bennett for my best friend. But the God of heaven gave his son for a world of sinners, so they could be saved. That whoever believes, whoever will just simply rest on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, that person will not perish. That person will not die in their sins. That person will not end up in hell, but will be saved, have everlasting life. That is the message that we are trying to present to you tonight. From my brother, when he was saved, when I was saved in 1988, nothing that I did, but it was the night that I put my trust, that I just rested, that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was enough to take away my sins. That could be yours tonight. September 1st, 2024. What a way to start September. By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You could be saved tonight, guaranteed, on the authority of this book. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are so grateful that the gospel ever reached our lives, our hearts, and it is certainly a wonderful thing. It's marvelous that the God of heaven would ever love a world of sinners, even to love sinners like us. And so we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ that he has died for our sins. We would pray that there be those here tonight that they might understand the seriousness of this, that they need to be saved, and that they could even be saved tonight. And so we would pray for that. And as we part, we would just ask for safety as we go home. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.